All right. Jesus is good, isn't he? So the message that I have today, I actually titled it. I'm starting to learn how to title these things ahead of time. Amen. So today, I'm going to call it Focus on Life, Not Your Body. Focus on Life, Not Your Body. Isn't that a catchy title? It kind of like already tells you what I'm going to talk about. What do you think I'm going to talk about? Life and not our body. Life and not our body. I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you information today that can revolutionize your days to come, if you lay hold of it. Now, I want to let you know, this group of people is a little bit behind the curveball. Okay? And the reason I say that is, until the light really goes on and you own it as your own, and it's just somebody else's information that you're using as a tool in your garden right now, we have a lot of baggage that could get in the way of owning this. Okay? It's because we've got so many years of seeing ourselves as part of the equation. And we need to remove ourselves as part of the equation, which is really hard when you've got so many years of being the way we are, okay? But it's not impossible, but it is a law in the kingdom of God that if you learn it now, it will change all of our future days from here, okay? And it's nothing you haven't heard, but it might be something you've never heard, but it might not be something that you've never heard, which is the law of life. Have you heard of the law of the Spirit and of life? You guys have heard of that? Let's go ahead and look at that real quick. It's going to be in Romans chapter 8. So let's look in our Bibles, because I'm going to give you some information today that is helping me tremendously, and it still takes a lot of effort because I'm so used to thinking the old way. So I'll give some examples that might help. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And we're just going to read the first 11 verses. Are you with me? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, so that right there is like putting a root in the path in front of all of us to trip over. That's great words, but to not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit takes effort on our part. It really takes effort. And what I'm going to give you today takes even more focus and effort, but it will really, I'm telling you, it will change so many situations in your life when you get this. All right, ready? He who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there is a law that is sin and death, and there's a law that is life, which is in the Spirit. Are you with me? So there's life in the Spirit. We can even say the Holy Spirit, because he's the Spirit of God, isn't he? And doesn't it say in John chapter 17 that knowing the Father and Jesus is eternal life? Doesn't it say that? So God is eternal life, right? So in the Spirit is eternal life. Is that right? Amen. So let's go on. So it says, for the law of the Spirit, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when we walk according to the Spirit, this law of life is fulfilled in us, right? Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We set our minds on the things of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when we're spiritually minded, it's life and it's peace. That word peace is irene, which means to be quiet, at rest, prosperous, and to be set at one again with God. It's almost like as if you were warring with somebody and you owned your stuff, they owned their stuff, you apologized, they apologized, and then we both came together and now we're good with each other, we've forgiven each other, we've restored, we've owned our stuff, and now we got a good, clean relationship again. That's being at peace with God, being at one with Him. There's no more stuff between us, right? So that's life and peace in the Spirit when we walk according to the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at war or enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit dwells in you. So, who has the Spirit of God in them? So then we are in the Spirit. Okay? Our life is in the Spirit right now. Our life is in the Spirit. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to what? To our mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in us. So God will give us life from His Spirit into these mortal bodies. Mortal means the flesh that walks on the earth, right? So the Spirit will actually put the life of Jesus Christ in my flesh if I have my mind set on life and peace in God, set on walking in the Spirit, right? And not in this world. There's a verse in the Bible that says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, right? So we have to be in the Holy Spirit to experience this righteousness. Doesn't it say that life is because of righteousness? Right. So let me say what I want to say, and then we'll go back and prove it. Is that easier? So, what?
Sound like a lawyer.
Well, I just have some great information for you, but unless you have a place to put it in your life, it can get lost easy. In other words, if I give you a handful of dollars, but you don't have a pocket, you know, those dollars can fly away really quickly if you don't have a pocket to put them in. So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to use a natural example, and then we'll switch it to a spiritual one. Are you ready? I used to smoke cigarettes. I confess. I was a cigarette smoker. And I was addicted to cigarettes for 15 years. And I tried and tried to quit smoking cigarettes, but I just couldn't. And all of my friends, after about 3 or 4 days of not smoking, would say, Robert, they called me Bob back then. They said, Bob, please smoke a cigarette. I can't stand being around you when you don't smoke. Because I was completely agitated the entire time. I needed to quit, and I didn't know how to quit. It was so bad. I had asthma, and I still smoked. I just had to wait till I could breathe a little bit so I can light another cigarette. That's how pathetic an addiction is. Well, I want to let you know something. You're addicted to your flesh. You don't even know how addicted you are to it. I am addicted to my flesh. And I don't even realize how addicted I am to it. Even though I'm in the Spirit and you're in the Spirit right now. Going on. So I just, Lord, what am I going to do? And He says, why don't you do it the way I would do it? And I said, how would you do it? He says, I would call things that be not as though they are. Right? We know that principle, don't we? So He didn't say to deny what is. He said what is not, say that what is not is. Right? So this is a key point. It's not to change what is. It is to move our attention onto what we want instead. Right? And that's the whole thing, because what is will change and follow where our attention is at. That will become our new experience in life. And the old will change, because what we say in our hearts is what creates our future. So I said, okay. So I would walk around my swimming pool. It was a round deck around the pool. And I'd smoke cigarettes. And I would say, Lord, I thank you that I've got pink lungs. Why did I say that? Because smokers have pink lungs, don't they? No. I mean, non-smokers have pink lungs. People that are healthy have pink lungs, right? Thank you. Thank you. That was my mistake. So thank you that I have pink lungs and I'm smoking. Thank you that my skin is nice. Thank you that I love drinking water and exercising. All those things are lies at the moment. But I'm creating a new idea and image on the inside of me. And as I'm doing that, I'll crush out my cigarette and I'll light another one. I go, oh, thank you that I breathe so well and that I smell so good all the time. Because I used to have people hug me, and I had some lady tell me once, you know, you sure are a handsome young man. I just wish you didn't stink like cigarettes. So I said, I smell good all the time. And you know what? I did that never trying to quit smoking. Never trying to quit smoking. But I was obedient to what I did experience. And when I didn't need one, I didn't go looking for one. If I was smoking one and I had enough, I would put it out. And I found that in 3 weeks, I didn't smoke anymore by doing that. Because the old was changing, because I was building that new idea inside of me. And I was very true to the new idea. And therefore, I built an image of being a non-smoker, a person that was athletic and energetic. Cigarettes had nothing to do with the picture. Are you with me? Now I'm going to move it over to life, and then we'll hit all the corresponding scriptures. Ready? There's nothing in the New Testament that says you have to die. There is nothing since Jesus died on the cross that says that any of us has to die. It says, oh, we will, and that there's provision for those that do, but nothing says you have to. The 120-year rule doesn't apply in the New Testament. It never carries over. None of the rules on how old you have to be to die or how young, none of those rules carried over. It says that the flesh is dead and our life is now hid in Christ in the Spirit, isn't it? Because he condemned sin in the flesh, didn't he? He sure did. Now here's the problem. So many people try to take care of their body so it won't die. How many have tried? Guilty, guilty, guilty. And especially the more senior you get, the more you think about staying alive in the body. It's just a fact of life. That's being addicted to cigarettes. You're being addicted to your flesh. Now, here's what I want to say. What would it be like if you built an entirely different image of yourself that is everlasting life? That is never-ending life. What would it be like if you, though this body may be perishing on the outside, on the inside you're being renewed day by day? That sounds like a scripture, doesn't it? It sure does. It sounds like kind of like 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says that day by day we're being renewed on the inside. So, if we did like I did, I would walk around my swimming pool. Was my flesh renewed? smoking cigarettes. Yeah. And to any outlooker, I was being foolish, wasn't I? Because you'd be lying, straight up lying. But the truth is, I never addressed the cigarettes. They see my flesh smoking, but I wasn't associating with the smoking anymore, right? And the flesh changed. What would it be like if we really did associate ourselves as having everlasting life and living in everlasting life right now? Not waiting for everlasting life to creep up on you, but you start confessing it as the truth right now, regardless of whether it's expressing itself through your body yet or not. Are you with me? Are you here? So we are calling things that are not expressed on the outside necessarily yet as though it were, by building an image that is 100% what Jesus Christ says, honest, just taking him seriously. There's a doctrine in the church, and I'm not saying anybody preaches it, but it's an understanding that you're going to die one day, and then you'll be with the Lord. People actually believe that. They do. They really do. And I fight against it all the time because it's not the truth. If you accept and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're with him right now. Amen. You're not going to be with him one day. You're with him right now. Amen. And it says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit right now, not someday. So here's the thing. If we have been moved into the Spirit, we need to be spiritual. Galatians 6 says that if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you reap life. Right? This is where you can run around the church right now if you want to. I'll be fine with that. Let this sink in. If we sow to the Spirit, we have everlasting life. If we sow to the flesh, if we identify ourselves as flesh, then the flesh must die. It must die. I was talking to Bruce about this, and he kept trying to think about taking vitamins, eating right, getting plenty of sleep. You know, he wasn't saying those words, but I could see his mind working on being healthy for longevity. Did I ever put my attention on the cigarettes? No. But were they in my body? Yes. Will your body age? Yes. So what? If you have everlasting life, then you live in everlasting life. Here's the thing, though. The more you practice being in the presence of God, in the presence of everlasting life, associating with everlasting life, the more everlasting life soaks into your mortal flesh. Amen. That's good. It does. And it soaks into your flesh so much, we actually call it the anointing. Seriously, because it's the life of God in your flesh. Didn't we just read that? Oh, yeah. Plus, there's other scriptures in the Bible that says this mortality will be swallowed up with life. This corruption will be swallowed up with incorruption. Right? This is the truth, but we have to. No, we don't have to. We can just die. It's okay to die. It is. Because the real you will live on in heaven and in the presence of God. You will. You will. So don't worry about that. But you know what? There is a life that is on the earth that can be the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. But you have to believe it. That's what the Bible says. You have to believe Jesus. You have to believe that he's your life. And if you do, it will grow in you. Say what? Run all you want. It's okay. You can go right back to the way you're thinking in 6 o'clock. But here's the thing. Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 10, says the thief came to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But I came that you may have life more abundantly. Is that now in the flesh? You guys, you've been reading this all along, but so many people let it just drop off the page. How about this one? John 3:16. Let's start in 15. Turn to your Bibles. I want you to see this. Most of you can quote it, huh? But I guarantee a lot of people put their focus on half of it and not on the other half. Or the secret invisible doctrine of the church creeps in. John chapter 3, verse 15. Are you with me? That whatsoever believes, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, that means die, but have everlasting life, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, who's a whosoever? I am. Believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that?
Amen.
It says you will never die. If you believe in Jesus, you will never die. Does it say that? See, we focus on the eternal life, but for why do we not focus on, I will never die? How can he say that? I will never die if I believe in Jesus, because he will give me eternal, everlasting life. I will never die. I will never die. But if I don't believe him and put my attention on my flesh, I will die. I will die. But if I put my attention on everlasting life, I will never die. I will never die. So who's I? Whether my attention's in the spirit or whether my attention's in the natural, I get to decide. It's my choice. Doesn't the Bible say that life and death are on the tip of the tongue? Doesn't it say that? Doesn't Deuteronomy say that choose life? Doesn't he say that? Doesn't he tell us to choose? What does he mean? Choose to be alive forever. Cigarettes were not my problem. My idea of who I was my problem. Cigarettes were the manifestation of that current idea of who I was. Right? Death is a manifestation of the corruption of the flesh. If I don't cater to it and live in it, I can slow it way down. But like I said, many of us have many, 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 many years of being addicted to a way of thinking. And it's going to take a lot of deliberate attention to rein in those horses. It just is. I have so many scriptures to share with you that I'm not going to ever have enough time to do it. How do I do this, Lord? John chapter 4. Let's do those ones, John 4. I'm going to just read these to you. It's going to be John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. This is Jesus talking to the woman at the well. Okay? And this is what he says to her, starting in verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. He's talking about the natural water. Verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Where is the everlasting life springing up from? Within us. It springs up from within us. How's that possible? It's from the Spirit of God quickens us and makes us alive on the inside, right? I quoted you the scripture that though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Which are you? Are you the outward man perishing, or are you the inward man being renewed day by day? Who do you say you are? Where's your attention at? Is it on everlasting life, or is it on a temporary existence on the earth that will expire one day, and then you will go to be with the Lord? That's a way that a lot of people think. I'm telling you, there's nothing in the New Testament that says you have to die. Remember John the Apostle? Remember him? I know we haven't met him personally, but we've read about him, right? We're reading his book right now, John, right? That man believed Jesus, and these words that he writes over and over and over about everlasting life, and that we don't perish, that we will live forever. He writes that so often that he himself was believing it. Do you know what? It says in history that they tried to boil John in oil, and he floated on top of a boiling pot of hog fat and never even got crispy. They couldn't kill him. You ever deep fried chicken? Just had a tiny bit splash up on you. They tried big old pot of oil, boiling oil, and he would not die. They had to exile him to the Isle of Patmos, a rock in the ocean. So at least if he's not going to die, he's going to be all alone out there. That's when he had all those revelations of Jesus Christ and wrote the book of Revelations. He had supernatural experiences because of his relationship with God, because God is eternal life. He is. Jesus would have never died had he had not given up his spirit on the cross. He says, Father, I commend my spirit unto you. And he chose to leave his body to fulfill the Old Testament, right? Of the sacrifice of the lamb. It had to be fulfilled. Jesus even says that he himself, by his spirit, will raise us up. So, go 49ers, or whoever's playing today, I don't know. One of them, and the Chiefs, okay. Isn't this exciting stuff? Think about it. I've got a million scriptures. Should I just start reeling off scriptures to you? Okay, here's one. Hebrews 12:9 says that God is the Father of what? Spirits. He is the Father of spirits. Let's look at it right now. Hebrews 12, verse 9. He's not the father of flesh and blood bodies. He is the father of spirits. Hebrews chapter 12.
The spirit had to be in a
body. It did. Because you need to have a body to walk on the earth. And verse 9 says this, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in submission to the Father of spirits and live? Because he corrects us, it says in verse 10, for unto holiness. To bring us, I'll just read 10. It says, for they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. So he is the one teaching us how to live the way he lives in life. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, 13, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Who's born of God? 1 Peter says we're born of God. That means we're born in the Spirit, right? We're spiritually born again. So I will never die. I'm born of the Spirit, right? I will never die. I'm born of the Spirit, right? I will never die. I'm born of the Spirit. I have the Spirit of life in me. Jesus came that I may have life and have it more abundantly. That Jesus came to die for the sins of the whole world, that I will never die but have everlasting life. Or did he lie about the never dying part? He says, shall not perish, shall not die, but have everlasting. Did he mean it or not? I'm telling you, this is something we have really seriously overlooked. We just instantly go to that terrible doctrine that I accept Jesus into my heart now. I believe that Jesus paid the price for my sins and that I have entrance into heaven. And when I die, then I will be there before the Lord. Or when I die, then in a twinkling of an eye, I'll be changed. And then I'll be with the Lord. Those things are true. But we don't have to have that outcome. We can live now. One day you'll leave your body behind. Or it will be changed into a twinkling of an eye, and you won't. Some people won't.
That's right.
I'm not the one that says who will and who won't. But I tell you, the dream I had, you know, you look in the Bible and all of these prophetic dreams, we absolutely believe these dreams that people have had in the Bible, don't we?
Only when Jesus comes again.
For the body being changed.
That's right.
Right. That's another doctrine that the church has. So, when Joseph had the dream that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and not to divorce her, when the angel talked to Joseph in the dream, we trust that dream, don't we?
Amen.
When Peter had his dream, we trust his dream, don't we?
That's right.
When those dry bones, the dream of the dry bones, we quote that all the time, don't we?
Amen.
So can we put just as much trust in a godly dream that we have?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Especially one-on-one between us and God. At the very least, that. And the dream that I had, I've told you about. I was preaching to these three ladies. They were sitting on a couch, a green couch. And I was talking to this lady all the way on the left. And I'm talking about something just like I'm talking to you guys right now. And all of a sudden, it started getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And the atmosphere started changing. And right here, I felt the day star rising in my heart, like it says in the Bible. I felt the glory of God getting bigger and bigger and bigger on the inside of me. And the lady on the end said, what's happening? I said, it's Jesus. He's coming right now. And I could feel the life of God filling me up. The way that I was thinking before all of a sudden became like a dream. And this new life that swallowed me up was everlasting life of peace and joy and fullness. And this joy came with it that I'd never, ever thought about. Even though it's in the Bible, it never crossed my mind that this life would come with it, this joy. And I was so filled with this joy as it just was like a star just going and taking over my entire body. I woke up, and it was the first dream I ever had where I go, no! I didn't want it to be a dream. Because it was so real. So I know my future.
Amen.
That's for me. But the truth of the matter is that life is a life that we get now.
Amen.
We don't have to wait for it. But here's the rub. It's so easy to feel our way through life instead of speak faith and cause the atmosphere of the kingdom of God to overshadow the natural way of thinking. It is. I'll tell you, the best thing you can do in the morning is to spend time with Jesus. I mean actually spend time with Jesus. I mean that Jesus is there and you're there in his presence. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that we go from glory to glory as off of the Spirit of God. The glory that's on the Spirit of God through fellowship will be the same glory that we are. Through fellowship with everlasting life, God is everlasting life. Am I right or wrong? God is love. Am I right or wrong? Okay. God is. So if I spend time with God, what am I spending time with? The God of everlasting life. And as I'm around him of everlasting life, I'm becoming everlasting life. Because my mother and my father in the natural modeled a life to me that my physical man and my emotional man took on as me. God says, that guy died, and I'm birthing a new one in the spirit in you, and I'm raising that guy to be just like me. So now I will model what life is like. And Jesus spent all of his time with the Father, didn't he? He spent so much time with the Father, he said this, I and my Father are one. That if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? And he said that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father, right? He said he is in me and I am in him, right? Therefore, if you've seen me, you've seen who? Or Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, however you want to say it. That means there's a new identity of me that is Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit, or Father God, whoever you identify with. It's God. They're not bothered by which one you choose to be able to picture. Some people have daddy issues and they have a hard time with the Father. Some people love Jesus and want to be Jesus around Jesus. Other people love being around the Holy Spirit and identifying with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter. Like I said before, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, right? But they say that God is Jesus' Father. But it was the Holy Spirit who overshadowed Mary. But to say God is Jesus' Father. But he was overshadowed. Mary got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. It says it twice. Even Joseph's dream said the Holy Spirit did this. But God is her Father, right? So it doesn't matter how you do it. God is God and he's in us, however that works. And when we identify with everlasting life, we will eventually reap the benefits of it. I say eventually. I smoked natural cigarettes and it took 3 weeks to renew my mind till it wasn't in there anymore, till I had a new identity. How long will it take you to renew your mind to being everlasting life? That sickness and disease has no place in your body, that your body must respond to the kingdom of God. Isn't this exciting stuff?
Yes, yes.
It is, but I'm telling you, it takes someone to point it out a little bit, doesn't it?
Amen. More exciting than a football game.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I haven't watched very many football games. Go ahead, Johnny. Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that you have a heavenly body and you have a natural body, right? So you will never be without a body. Whichever one you're in, you're still going to call it you. You just will. Because that's how, when I dress this flesh, I don't say, I need to go dress that flesh God gave me. I say, I am going to go get dressed, don't I? So I still identify that this vessel, this body is me, right? I do. But I also will when I know that when I go into the kingdom of God, that body I will still identify as me. When I got taken into heaven and saw Jesus face to face, my body went with me. It just did. This flesh stayed on the earth. But I had one that looked just like it in heaven because it was still me. It was just the fullness of my consciousness. The real me that I call me was there. So everything that I call me was there. I was still wearing the same clothes I was wearing in that room. Still the exact same stuff. How does God do that? I don't know. How do we have everlasting life when we see people dropping like flies all around us? How can it be true that we will never perish? We will never die. How can that be true? It has to be true if we identify ourselves not as flesh and blood, but we identify me as the one that's who aware my consciousness inside of me. How many of you have ever done this? Been doing something and observed yourself doing something? I have. I preach all the time. And I'm telling you, my mouth is flapping. I'm telling you good stuff, but I'm checking it out. I'm looking at other things. Going, whoa. And it just right back into there you go again and line back up again. So if that happens, if you've had the experience where you are aware of you, who's this guy? If you are here paying attention to this guy, everyone else in the room is watching this guy and relating to this guy. Who is he or she? If you're actually here paying attention. And the soul. You are not the accumulation of your experiences on the earth. When you were born in your mother's womb and you stepped out, or some were pulled, when you came out, you were 100% you. You were 100% you. And then you started recording time and experiences and those recordings. And then people started speaking at you and telling you who you were. You're my little girl. You're my little boy. You're me. This is our name. Oh, you live here. This is who you are. You go to this school. You acted that way. So you're this and that. And all of a sudden you're recording all that stuff and it's forming an identity inside of you. God says, that person is dead. There's no life in that person. That's not the person of heaven. That's all going to evaporate. Remember when I told you that life filled me up? This other life that I call me was like a dream that just evaporated and it was gone. And the life that I was living was 100 times more alive than this dull half-life in the body. But we have to renew our minds. We have to groom the truth that I have everlasting life. It is a gift of God. I didn't earn it. That's why we have to talk about it all the time, because it's totally by faith, because it's not by sight at the moment. By sight, this flesh is perishing. Are you with me? All right, I'm gonna let it go because I got 3 minutes and some people have a schedule to keep. I encourage you to look up Jesus' conversation with everyone telling them they will never die and that they have everlasting life. He reiterates it over and over and over again. Never perish. Never perish. Never perish. The mind of the flesh is enmity at war against God because it cannot accept the law of life. It can't accept it because it's decomposing. Are you with me? We are not this. So once we get centered on who we are really, then you will start infusing into this flesh immortal life. Like Paul, the anointing was so strong from the relationship he had through revelation of Jesus Christ that this very fabric of his clothes would heal people. Peter was so enamored with Jesus Christ, and when he got filled with the Holy Spirit, the relationship that he had, that he was so big now that it went beyond the inside and went to the outside, that his spirit was so of life was so big that when he passed by somebody, they would get healed. They said that if his shadow touched them, they would get healed. Well, you know, a shadow can't heal because it's the absence of light. It's not a thing. There's no such thing as a shadow. You only have a shadow if you have light. You can't have a shadow by itself. It doesn't exist. It's just the absence of the light. So Peter's spirit was so big that when somebody got close enough to him, he would get healed. That's you and me. That's you and me. But we have to embed within ourselves the idea of everlasting life, the anointing of God, the glory of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, and that we resign the life of this natural world and take on the life of God, our new identity, right? Of being in Christ, in the Holy Spirit. We put on Christ, don't we? That it may be Christ is all in all. That it is no longer I who lives, but who? Christ who lives in me. Okay, is that real stuff or is it just scriptures that we speak? Is it the life that I live that it's no longer me, but now I resign myself to everlasting life?
Hallelujah.
Are you with me? I love you guys. It's going to take time to work this out. And like it says here, praying in the Holy Ghost is another way to do it. Speaking the word is another way to do it. Meditating on the things of God is another way to do it. Talking to Jesus about it is a great way to settle yourself down. When I couldn't stop smoking, he said, "Why don't you do it the way I would?" How is that? Calling things that be not as though they are. You may not be experiencing one lick of what I'm talking about yet. You may be of the persuasion that one day when the flesh stops, I'll be in the presence of God. I'll have a renewed body. I'll be young. Life will be good again, which is true. But that doesn't mean that you can't have it now. It's like if I got you a Bic lighter. And you know what? Everybody's different. So some people are black. Some people are white. Some people are yellow. Some people are red. Some people are from outer space and they're green. Or gray. Depends on who you talk to. Right? And we can talk about all the different colors and how we are all so different. But the truth is, we're all exactly the same. We contain the stuff of fire. And a Bic lighter has no value until you strike that flint and ignite that butane. And then its purpose exists of being a flame. Right? Same with you and me. We need to be lit and live in the fire in the presence of God as our real relationship with God. But it takes us grooming that. Amen? 3 weeks of walking around that. Thank you, Lord. Living what looks like an absolute lie, but building an entirely new image on the inside of me. And then pretty soon, that image was the image I walked in this natural world. And we can walk in the same glory that Jesus had, and Peter and Paul and everyone else. Amen. Love you guys. Father, I just thank you for the word of God. I thank you for everyone that is here, Father, this day, and those that can hear online, Lord Jesus. Father, I just ask that you be glorified, that you quicken and make alive your word that is so real and true. That, Father, that there hasn't been a foothold in it. Our minds have just glossed over these things that are just unchangingly true according to the word. That our minds put in there things that aren't even written there because of a patterned way of thinking that is benevolent throughout the church, Lord. Father, I ask that you would make this real in the hearts and the minds of everyone that can hear my voice, Lord, so that we can live in the presence of you who is everlasting life. And that the life that we live by the faith of the Son of God, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.